Welcome to the Gender Rebels, a question and answer podcast that explores life outside the gender binary.
I'm Kath, a cis woman and ally.
And I'm Faith, a trans woman.
Special thank you to all our Patreon supporters.
Hey everyone, I'm Kath.
And I am Faith.
Welcome to the Gender Rebels Go to the Movies. What did we see yesterday?
What did we see? We saw a new film that's just out called I Saw the TV Glow.
Correct.
Yes.
The director is Jane Schoenbaum.
Schoenbrown.
And the cast includes Justice Smith and Bridget Lundy Payne and other assorted performers, including Phoebe Bridgers.
Who is not Phoebe Waller-Bridge.
Yes.
Which bothers me that both Phoebe Bridgers and Phoebe Waller-Bridge both became famous about the same time.
Mm-hmm.
That's just weird. Something's wrong.
And no one
simulation
stepped in.
Nobody said something. The simulation is glitching, guys.
Did you like the movie? Just briefly.
Yes.
Me too. Let's give a quick plot synopsis. We walk into the movie theater and I spilled half of Faith's beer into my lap. So that's how things started.
But I gave her my hoodie to use to clean it up. Because we were in a theater where you really couldn't get up and out.
It was a very full theater, yeah.
It was, yeah. Which is funny because the last Bridget Lundy Payne movie we saw in the theater.
It was a very empty theater.
Was a very empty theater, and Bridget Lundy Payne was actually there doing a Q&A with the director, and the theater was like mostly empty. And
they weren't at this one.
I had BLP. We call them BLP.
Yeah, they're BLP.
Bridget Lundy Payne is great. We love them. We first saw them in Atypical. They've done other things.
Links down below.
They are non-binary.
And they're super talented and funny and, you know, just
cool
a,
and weird and
a cool
and,
young actor on the scene. At any rate, clearly BLP's absence made it so more people wanted to come. Obviously,
yes,
they're the one
keeping
staying people away.
It's
the only explanation. Mm-hmm. But yes, Bridget Lundy Payne was really the reason we went to see this movie in the first place, or the reason it got on your radar.
I thought the trailer looked really good.
Well, you wouldn't have known the trailer.
Yeah,
unless,
I literally. Yeah.
So, big fan of theirs. I really liked the co-star, Justice Smith.
Justice Smith, who was in. He was in Dungeons and Dragons Honor Amongst Thieves, where he played a not particularly skilled wizard, which was good.
Amelia's Children. Yeah.
We saw Bridget Lundy Payne in Amelia's Children. It was bad.
It was terrible. Yeah. Embarrassing.
I mean, they did a great job in it.
Yeah, they were amazing. They were the bright spot.
Yeah.
They're a doctor who eats soup dumplings. But let's stick to I Saw the TV Glow. So as a very brief overall summary, this is about two kids who are fans of a weird TV show. And I think it's kind of one of those scary TV shows for kids like Goosebumps or Are You Afraid of the Dark?
It was very Buffy. It was incredibly Buffy.
It looked even lower budget and shittier than Buffy.
It was deliberately kind of a pastiche of the Buffy and that Are You Afraid of the Dark?
Mm-hmm.
But I will say, and this is no spoilers, the actual font used, so you watch multiple sequences of this show as the characters watch it,
mm-hmm.
and it's got the credits are the Buffy font.
Mm.
It's written and directed by Josh Weldon, or something like
really?
That. Yeah, it's something very similar to Joss Whedon.
All right,
who I think is a shitty human being.
Yeah,
so
pretty sure. But
it's created Buffy. And then the episode you see with an evil character of the evil monster.
Yeah.
Who is, for those who might know Buffy, this evil character is brought about by a wish that another character makes,
mm-hmm.
which is a plot in Buffy that's used a couple times.
Mm-hmm.
It's just very much, it's similar to Buffy, similar to Are You Afraid of the Dark, etc. Yeah, it's definitely
so it's,
a pastiche of that.
It's a TV show. It is called The Pink Opaque, and
I didn't want to ask if it had anything to do with the Cocteau Twins,
I don't know what that is.
I guess, are they punk, new wave?
I don't know what that is.
What would you call them? Cocteau Twins. Well, they say they're a rock band. What would you call them? Cocteau Twins. The show is called Pinkopeque, which is an album by Cocteau Twins. And I don't know what it had to do with it. I only vaguely know of Cocteau Twins. I'm not like a huge fan. And I didn't want to ask at the Q&A in case everyone in the audience like rolled their eyes at how obvious it was.
Your approach to asking questions at this Q&A, it was my approach to questions in college, which did some damage to my learning process. Yeah. I'm not going to lie. Anyway, so the movie is not about the Pinkopeque. It's about two kids. We meet them, seventh grade and ninth graders, who are sort of outcasts, sort of awkward, maybe some neglect at home, maybe some abuse at home, maybe a lot of abuse at home
It's definitely implied that there's not even implied. It's literally stated in the film that there's like abuse at home.
And they bond over this TV show, but they're both kind of awkward, so it's limited to how much they can bond. But it seems to be that this show and the friendship presented in the show is kind of what gets them through. Even they don't like hang out all the time. They're not really friends.
No.
In fact, BLP's character makes VHS tapes for Justin Smith's character because he can't stay up that late to watch the show, which is on at 10:30.
I think they're friends. I think it's presented as a friendship, but albeit a weird one.
And BLP's character is prickly.
Yes.
A little bit hostile. She smiles exactly once in the movie.
Bridget Lundy Payne is a they, them, non-binary. We will refer to their character by she, her pronouns. Mm-hmm. So if we screw up in that and you're listening, Bridge, which we hope you are.
Yes.
we're fans. Come hang out with us. We'll play Catan. And
the characters' names, BLP plays Maddie.
Maddie. So Maddie, and this all takes place in the 90s.
Justice Smith plays.
Much of this takes place in the 90s.
Justice Smith plays Owen.
Yeah. So Maddie is so utterly 90s. Like, I feel like I would have been friends with Maddie in high school.
No, you wouldn't have. Maddie didn't want any friends.
Maddie didn't want any friends, but I knew people like Maddie. I was similar to Maddie, I think.
Yeah.
Maddie's got all the female-fronted band posters. I identified a Velocity Girl and Veruca Salt poster, but I couldn't. Obviously, I was looking for a garbage, but other people. I did spot those two.
Yeah. So, you know, they managed to scrape through towards the end of high school together. Maddie disappears, suspicious circumstances, and Owen, you know, grows up in that same town they grew up in, and adventures ensue and weirdness happens.
Yeah. So, a lot of weirdness.
It was weird. It was dark.
Very beautifully shot film.
Very pretty.
Very good performances. There is one scene in particular where Bridget Lundy Payne's character, Maddie, does, I want to say, maybe a 5-6-7 minute long shot with a lot of camera moves and stuff, and it's all a monologue. Yeah. And
there are some very long Steadicam shots.
Yeah.
Really, really impressive stuff. Yeah. Cool lighting, interesting moods. You know,
the soundtrack is phenomenal. It doesn't go on sale till May 10th, so I'm listening to what I can, but
The soundtrack is a whole other thing. It's so, so good.
Yeah.
There's so many songs. Some you recognize, some you don't. Some's talented people. One's Smashing Pumpkins. So the soundtrack really does stand alone as really amazing. But we were lucky to see sort of a preview yesterday and had a Q&A with the director. And the director came out and was talking to whoever from the theater and was talking about being trans and how this was a trans movie and how there are some scenes of transness. And you and I were on our way home in a car instead of the subway because I looked like I'd wet my pants.
Yep. She spilled, the beer was in the cup.
So much.
In between our seats. We're holding hands in the theater. Like you do because we're a couple and we're adorable.
Yeah.
And I think Kath was reaching over to hold my hand and then knocked the beer into her lap.
I bopped that beer a couple times. That was a tall glass.
It was.
Or a short cup holder. And when it poured on me, and it was very cold, I was like, what would a normal person do in these circumstances? Well, they would probably get up and, like, go to the bathroom and swab off with paper towels, but then still be wet the whole time. And then what? Go home? Fuck that. And so I just sat in my puddle of beer. And thank you for your hoodie, because I think I was able to keep the smell.
We saw
down.
This. We saw this in Angelica, the Angelica on Houston Street, for those in New York. For if you're not in New York, it is a... It is a cool kind of art house theater, plays a lot of indie movies. Mm-hmm. It's I love the theater for the movies it shows. I do not like the theater space at all.
Mm-hmm.
It is, the seats are very narrow. Mm. There's no way you can get up and pee if you need to without everyone else in your row getting up.
I mean, it's a lot of seats packed into the space, you know?
Yeah.
It's Spirit Airlines kind of minimum amount mm-hmm. of allowed cubic inches that assigned per person. I didn't get either of the armrests either, but I just sat there in my beer puddle of shame. We're on our way home, and there is two-second long scene, you barely see it, where our lead male actor, Owen, has a dress on. I'm like, oh, this is a gay thing, or this is a trans thing. And BLP's character Maddie smiles, and then that's it. Like,
I also
move on from it.
It was such a weird scene, and it really hit me because I wondered what was like, where are they going with this? Is this going to be is there a trans connection? Because there's a very odd connection between the two characters.
Mm-hmm.
They're both very quiet. Like, they're both very quiet, shy, withdrawn, to the point where
I think they're both introverts, but they're also lonely. Yes, introverts
yes.
can get lonely.
So that was a part of it, and it was also I was wondering if they're trying a spectrum thing, like an autism
sure.
spectrum,
sure.
if that were part of it.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's this one scene you see, and it's this moment where you see the two of them hanging out, and he comes out of the bathroom wearing a dress.
Yes.
Very short scene, and she's smiling, and he's kind of nervously smiling, and it's this moment that just took me back. It really reminded me of, like, those times when, as a trans egg,
mm-hmm.
as you say, was able to kind of come out to mm-hmm. one person that you trusted. Bringing them into the closet.
Yeah.
But it is an important moment, and I think a lot of us have that moment, and it really took me back. And
then they don't
pick
it up again.
It's gone. And like at the time, I was like, is this going to be an element of this? Is this character trans? Is this a part of it? And then it sort of doesn't play a part in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was, I felt bad that I'd missed
mm-hmm.
that detail.
So Justice Smith, also queer, you know, in a relationship with a dude. So there is some very queer casting. For the rest of the film, and should we get into spoilers? How do we want to do this? Just do a spoiler section, or I will say, I think we can do a little bit without spoilers.
Yeah.
Okay, so we'll skip spoilers. It ends up that
the show gets canceled, and the line between reality and, I don't know, distortion, psychosis, the show itself, gets blurred.
And that's in the trailer, so we're not going to spoil too much. The interesting thing was, so that there was a Q&A with the director. The director, I believe, is a trans woman.
Yes, she is.
And she comes out, and there's another trans person doing the Q&A with them.
Mm-hmm.
And talks about, oh, this movie's trans, everything in this movie's trans. It's the most obvious thing in the entire planet that this movie is a metaphor for transness. And
even non-queer people would come up to me and be like, I don't care how big an egg you are. And now everyone's talking about eggs. And I missed
okay
that reference
Guys,
entirely.
I'm a trans person
mm-hmm.
and have been since it was trendy, which is when I decided to transition. No, I've been trans my whole life, and I grew up literally probably the same time this person. I think the director is a little younger than me.
Yeah,
but only by maybe like 2 or 3 years, because our music taste overlaps, or a lot of our shows overlap, things like that. They mentioned Velocity Girl in their Q&A, so clearly, you know, Velocity Girl, very 90s. I didn't get that. And I felt like, am I stupid that I'm kind of not getting this? The transiness? Because I swear to God, I read transiness into so many movies where they're not even there. I have a whole essay on my old blog, which is still up, about how Supergirl is a metaphor for, you know, transgender stuff. Like, I see this stuff everywhere, and I did not see it. Other than that one scene we mentioned, didn't see it.
So I wonder if this is the next step in the evolution of movies with trans content, where it's not like the whole thing. It just happens to be a detail of one or more characters' lives, and maybe causes some distress. This kid clearly had problems, at the very least, a neglectful parent, at the worst, could have been bullied at school. Who knows? He was sort of a nobody at school.
They show him being bullied, kind of by coworkers, but...
Oh, yeah, his coworkers are assholes. Yeah, it could be that this is a movie about one or more trans characters, but it's not all about the hormones and the doctors and the surgery. It's just someone having a rough adolescence.
I think it also just, even watching this as a trans person, it's about people who are lonely, looking for a connection. They feel like something's wrong with them, but they can't really articulate what's wrong with them because they don't have the words. But that's just screenwriting 101. What's your character's wants, what's their needs, etc. That to me didn't feel trans, but I get ultimately that kind of metaphor of are we someone else? Is the world something else? Is this a chance we're going to take to potentially realize our destiny? And I'm not giving anything away, really.
Yeah.
Can definitely come across as trans.
So you think more...
But so could anything.
Metaphorical, then?
Friggin' Star Wars could be, you know, Luke always wants to be a Jedi, i.e. always trans, and the...
So let's play a game then. The
destroying
director...
the Death Stars, getting on hormones, whatever. You could make that metaphor for anything.
Okay, so let's see what we can interpret. We had the director refer directly to a particular scene. And it's not a spoiler, but let's just walk through that and see if you can see what any issues are. So our character, Owen, is driving and the road is blocked because a power line is down. And, it's spitting sparks. You can see it. I think it's night, so it's dark. So you can see it, like, you know, jumping around like a snake, spitting sparks. There's some tree branches down. And he gets out of the car to take a look, but not get too close to the power line, and sees burnt, scattered pages of a episode guide, a book about their TV show, The Pink Opaque, which is what BLP's character Maddie is reading the first time we meet that character. So it may or may not be Maddie's book. I'm guessing it is.
I assumed it was.
And the power line is down, and our character Owen is looking at it. The director mentioned how that was a trans thing. Was an egg.
Was an egg, yeah.
Specifically. So let's play with that. Of those details, what was that? That did anything resonate with you back in the egg days?
No, not even remotely.
Like danger? Like something you love might be destroyed?
Maybe. Like... And I think there's always that, and again, this plays into this, yes, could this be in this movie where it's like, you have to take a risk to find your destiny and become the person you are and, you know, live in the world as it really is and get out of your cocoon and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. And yeah, but that... Again, I also feel like that could be almost any other movie if I hadn't had a transgender director
mm-hmm.
come out and say,
this is a trans
movie. This movie is transgender. I really wouldn't have picked it up even remotely.
I picked up Lonely, like I was telling you yesterday, I picked up Asexual from his
character.
I did
pick up Asexual, and I think that's not even...
BLP, definitely gay. She literally says, I like girls.
Yes, and talks about one of the girls.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
In the show. The show is, the show, The Pink Opaque, involves two girls who meet at camp, realize they have a psychic connection. They never meet again until the end of the show.
Mm-hmm.
And they are able to fight monsters across by connecting across the psychic plane.
They have a psychic connection. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. So, obviously, we're going to see it again because we liked it. And it was pretty, and I like to support independent film. Let's bring some other friends.
Yeah.
See what they think. See what their interpretation is. And we challenge you, the listeners, go out, see it, and let us know what we missed. What else is there? And after everyone's had a chance to see it, we'll jump on the microphone again and talk about it with spoilers in it.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I don't quite think I understand the ending because we debated the ending is it spoilers to say the ending is ambiguous or am I stupid?
The ending is either ambiguous or Faith is stupid and you, the listeners, yes, don't tell them what the ending
okay,
is.
Okay.
I know what you're saying. Yeah. Because
the director was like, well, the ending is very obvious. And I'm like,
I want to be there with you with this obviousness.
Which I think I got it, but again, I don't know if that's the ending that, you know.
I mean, I missed all the queer stuff, so who knows?
I feel like it's a movie we have to watch again.
We're gonna watch
the soundtrack
it again.
And the fact that we like the actors who are in it.
Mm-hmm.
And,
we're gonna read up on it a bit. We want to hear from you. But even. From what I took away from it, which wasn't a ton of trans or queer content, I really, really enjoyed it.
I enjoyed it too.
It was dark and unsettling, and it kind of makes fun of those shitty 90s kid movie TV shows. Not just Buffy, but Buffy had some shitty special effects also.
Buffy had some very shitty special effects. The director literally mentioned Buffy.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a spoiler to say there's some Buffy cast in this, in minor little blink and you miss it kind of moments. Apparently, also, one of the actors from Pete and Pete was in it, or possibly both of them. And I didn't recognize them, which is funny because I was friends of a friend with...
Oh, dang.
With younger Pete.
All right.
And... like hung out a couple times with younger Pete in New York in like 2002.
That's so funny.
And also didn't realize who he was so at the time, and not a close friend, just friend of a friend kind of thing. It was actually friend of a coworker.
Mm-hmm,
but still, it's kind of funny.
Yeah.
So and then apparently, you know, there's a lot of other little cameos.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Fred Durst.
Plays
the best role Fred Durst could play.
Really did not get out of the park.
Which is a horrible stepfather. A
shitty stepfather. Yeah. Or maybe
regular real father.
Yeah.
He does. I thought he said, you're not my father or something.
I don't remember.
And maybe that was something we didn't pick up on.
Sure. Obviously, there are details we missed that we will catch the next time around. But either way, yes, please watch it when it comes to your town or if you're already in a place.
I think it's in select theaters May 3rd, in all theaters May 10th.
Something like that. Yes. So we're going to get this out to you before that, before May 10th, certainly. But let us know what you thought and stay tuned.
Yeah, we're curious
we'll
to see.
Tune in
apparently
again.
The director has another movie that I briefly read that it was a very low budget kind of arty film. So I don't know. This may be their accessible film or her accessible film.
Her first feature was We're All Going to the World's Fair. A coming of age horror drama.
Okay, oh, that sounds kind of good. I actually, wait a second. I saw the trailer for this and I wanted to see if you wanted to watch it. It's about some online World's Fair challenge thing. Oh. So I think we're going to have to watch that tonight.
Yeah, okay, we're watching that tonight. Cool, cool.
So so they've done a couple movies. She's done a couple movies. We didn't even realize this was trans. We literally went because the trailer looked good and it has one of our favorite actors
BLP.
In it.
BLP. Yeah.
BLP. BLP's BLP my favorite actor. They might be leaning there.
Okay. So
yeah.
Thank you for taking me. We had a nice little date night, except for the puddle of beer.
Except for the puddle of beer.
Which I did to myself, and I wanted to see the movie, and I just didn't want to stink too bad.
And we got a little surprise trans thing out of it, which we didn't expect.
Yes. Always nice.
Which is kind of fun. Happens. Yes.
Yes, yes. And then, like, walking out of the theater, and like, oh, God, we all have blue hair and purple hair and green hair.
It was a very queer audience.
A gay movie.
We literally walked out of the theater, and I walked right into the director. It was like, as I exited the theater, the director was standing there, and I tried to be like, yay, this is a queer thing. I tried to explain about the dress thing, and I think I just kind of embarrassed myself, and I felt very cringe, and then I was like, okay, bye.
If anyone is an artist, writer, performer, singer, anyone, back me up. I told Faith that they like to hear nice things.
Yeah.
Because you get all the praise in the world you want, but it's that bad review that sticks in your brain. So this is a good thing. Let them know.
Yeah.
All right, cool. Well, thanks for listening, everybody, and we will talk to you next
time. This is a short episode, but we'll come back with another one soon.
Sounds good.
All right.
Talk to y'all later.
All right, everyone.
Bye.
If you've enjoyed this episode and want to help us keep making great content, go to patreon.com/genderrebels.
Please leave a 5-star review on iTunes.
And send your questions to questions@genderrebels.com.
Music for the Gender Rebels is by Jasper the Colossal. Link down below or download them on iTunes.
For all our episodes, visit genderrebels.com.
Gender Rebels is a
Comeback Sync
production, all rights reserved.
And to all you Gender Rebels out there,
keep rebelling!